the beautiful weather in sunny South Florida, although it's not as sunny today as it was yesterday, but hope everybody is well, healthy, safe, and happy. All right, let's get started. We have a very interesting case today that we're going to discuss, which is interesting as it relates to some of the particulars. When we think about davening, we think about the posture, we think about where we're standing, we think about movement. You know, in shuls, it's not uncommon that there's a lot of movement. There's just a lot of movement. And even though there's certain strictures as it relates to when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, for example, of course, you're standing still and you're standing straight. Your feet are together and through the duration of the Shmoneh Esrei, so you're supposed to stay in that position the whole time. And there are very rare exceptions. And the rare exceptions, obviously, if you have a situation, as we're going to learn now, that arises unexpected and unplanned, and you have to respond. Now, when is it that you'd have to respond and how is it that you'd have to respond is part of what we're going to discuss. One of the most obvious examples of where a person feels a compelling need to change the situation physically, to move out of the posture that they're in. And again, I say this to be sure that we're very clear. We're talking about davening Shmoneh Esrei, meaning if you're davening Pesukei Dezimra and Birchas Kriyashma and various other parts of davening, the obligation there with stricture to stay in the same location obviously is less. Although we have an idea called Dalet Amos of Tefillah, the four cubits that when you're davening, when you're praying, is considered your place and it's independent. It doesn't have to only be Shmoneh Esrei. It could be really anything and everything. That's your space. That's what we call your Makom Kavua. That is your set spot. And your Makom Kavua extends even outside of the Shmoneh Esrei. The Shmoneh Esrei is the climax. It's the citadel of all the parts of our davening that we lead up to and lean on mostly. But it also comes to include other areas. But again, if we're talking about other parts of davening, so you don't have to be standing so strictly like you do with regard specifically to Shmoneh Esrei. So you have more, you know, wiggle room to maneuver around, to walk around. Now, walking around in shul is obviously very distracting. There's a lot of commentary on that, suffice it to say. But what we're talking about specifically is Shmoneh Esrei and the need that often comes up, and sometimes for some unexpected, or others should prepare in advance, if a person feels the need and the urge to use the restroom when they're davening. So when that happens, what do? You're in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei, you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. Are you allowed to step out of your Shmoneh Esrei and then relieve yourself and then go back into your Shmoneh Esrei? If it's not the Shmoneh Esrei, so obviously there's a lot more leniency. But when you're actually in a place where you cannot move, so it becomes a little bit more difficult. I will get to that as part of our case that we're going to study today. But one final thought before we get to the meat and potatoes, it's all part of our introduction, is that there is a difference between men and women with regards to when those who are wearing tefillin and those who are not. And when you enter into a base hakiseh, for example, you enter into the bathroom, you've been wearing your tefillin for the first part of the davening. So while it's permissible, obviously you have to go to the bathroom, you go and you do so, but you remove your tefillin beforehand. So the obligation for those who wear their tefillin for davening is that when you come back, so your obligation is to put your tefillin, your talis and tefillin back on, and you have to make a new bracha on your tefillin. And I say on your tefillin because you do not make a new bracha on your talis. And the reason why there's a difference between talis and tefillin with regards to making a bracha is because, assuming you enter into the bathroom itself, proper bathroom, I'm not talking about where certain bathrooms have, you know, like kind of antechambers where there's like the washroom before the actual basic kiseh, although that's a discussion in the poskim. But assuming you go into the bathroom, your obligation is to take obviously your tefillin beforehand off, and then you put them back on. And when you do so, when you come out of the bathroom, you have to make another bracha. Why? Because tefillin is not a place you're ever allowed to put on your tefillin. It's therefore that's considered a pausation. That pausation then requires you to then again make a new bracha. Whereas talis, you know, you're wearing a talis katan, you're wearing what we call tzitzis, which is technically called the talis katan. You're allowed to enter into a basic kiseh. You're allowed to enter into a bathroom wearing you know, tzitzis. We don't because of bizyonos, because it's a degradation of the garment, the holiness of the garment. But technically speaking, you're allowed to. And since you're technically allowed to, then you would not be obligated to make a bracha, another blessing on the tzitzis when you came out of the bathroom, needing to put on your tzitzis again. So that would be a distinction. Now, to be a little bit more specific, we don't have to get into this now because the case is an exciting case, but there is a difference between tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad, which means, not getting into too many technicalities, but the Gemara Maseches Menachos explains, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies this, is that the holy tefillin, they're both very holy, but the holiest of the tefillin is a tefillin shel rosh, where you're not allowed to go to the Beis HaKiseh, into a bathroom wearing tefillin. That's talking about a tefillin shel rosh. We don't go in with the tefillin shel yad also for holy reasons as well. But technically speaking, if you did, it's not the same a violation as if you went in with a tefillin shel rosh. But suffice it to say, because of the fact that we hold them as one unit, and even though we make two brachos on the tefillin, we still nonetheless keep them and treat them as the same. But if you want to get very technical and very granular, you would know that there's actually mathematics and clinically different halachos and approaches with regards to the difference between tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. Okay, so the idea is you're in a place, you're in a spot, you're in a place you're supposed to remain, specifically to Shemoneh Esrei, and something happens, a mishap. You know, you find that you're called to some type of need, and there's a lot of different of examples of where this can happen. But let's just start with the case in Siman Lamed. And again, we're following the Shulchan Aruch in cases in contemporary halacha and cases in Shas. We'll see that this is a number of Gemaras in Shulchan Aruch that help us understand this case and cases similar. So the case is in bold in Siman Lamed. It's Chazan She'azav Es Mekomo Kedei LaHatzil. You have a Chazan. You have a person who's leading the services, and he has to leave his place in the middle of his davening. Kedei lahatzil. Now, it doesn't have to be a chazan. That is a paid chazan, although the case is such one. But it could be that anybody's a chazan. A chazan is either a member of Hatzalah, a chazan is a doctor. And the reason is because he has a need, a medical need that he has to tend to. Now, we're not talking about his own medical need. We're talking about somebody else's medical need. So does he have to now survey the situation, take a poll of if there are any other people that could do it, and therefore assume that if there's somebody else to do it, that other person should do it first and foremost? Or does he, like a member of Hatzalah, for example, jumps down that pole, that fire pole, to get to the emergency first and foremost? He does it. So if in fact he's going to then go and help and aid, assist somebody who has a medical need, heichan yamshich es hatfila. So then how does he continue his davening? From where does he continue his davening? Where does he continue his davening with regards to what he was saying, and now what should he continue saying? Or more specifically, from which location? You know, if you're in a different location, so what's the location? What does it mean that you're toifes hamakom? That's the language in the Gemara. Toifes hamakom means that you grasp, you inaugurate, you proclaim through the tfisa, through the grasping of, through the unit of, I guess, absorbing that spot as yours. So your toifes hamakom, that place is your place. And would it make a difference if one place is where you start the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, and the second place is the latter part of the Shemoneh Esrei? Why should it really matter? We know that God is omnipotent. God hears us from wherever it is we are. Why should this matter? And the answer is that standing where we are, we'll see in a moment, is significant. All right. So good. That's the Hakdama. That's the header. So let's go to the case. Everybody sees the source. Hopefully you're able to download the sources, the source sheet before you. So Ma'aseh Be'echad Habatik Knesios. There was an event that took place in one of the synagogues, Shechavod Shabbat Chatan. What's Shabbat Chatan? In our vernacular, we refer to that as an Ofruf. So there was a Shabbos celebrating the wedding, the upcoming wedding of a bridegroom and a bride, wedding, an Ofruf Shabbat Chatan. So he decided, his minu chazan godol, shinam es atfila b'tziruf makhela. Makhela is an interesting word. What's Makhela? Makhela is a choir. So they decided what they're going to do. Sometimes people would like to enhance the simcha. They want to, whether it's the synagogue that does it, it's usually the families that want to enhance it. What they're going to do is they're going to hire a great chazan. They're not just going to hire a great chazan, but this chazan comes with a whole entourage. It comes with an assembly of those who are going to join with a choir. If you've ever heard such a thing, it's spectacular. Sometimes you have, you know, little youngsters, kids that sing along the chazan. It's really magnificent. So that's what they decided to do in this case. This one has his voice was Na'im, was Na'eh, which is actually not just a side throwaway statement, throwaway word. The Shulchan Aruch actually says that when you're choosing a Shlich Tzibur, it's actually brought down, explained in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Yom Na'arayim, you have to choose a chazan whose voice is pleasing. And this only becomes problematic and challenging sometimes when you have people who, for other reasons, would like to ascend the Amid to Daven for the Amid. So let's just say, for example, a person has a yard site. So there's different minhagim as it relates to the week of a yard site. So a person feels that they should daven for the Amid. But just because a person's a mourner, it doesn't make that person a chazan. So whether or not that person, either because they don't know the words, or maybe they don't have the tune and the incantations to do it the way that's going to be anoeh for the tefillah, for the tzibor, there's something to be said for that. It's not just that you're fulfilling your obligation because you have an obligation that you presume to be an obligation, even though I'll say this, tongue in cheek, it's really just a minhag to do such a thing. It's a strong minhag. But that doesn't mean that you should necessarily do it. The pleasantry of the kehila is very significant. It's pleasant. What's pleasant to the people? What the ability of the chazan is? Okay, just throwing that off to the side there. Shinaimes at tefillah b'tziruf makela. It was together being done with a choir. That's a beautiful thing. So they wanted to enhance the simcha. Now the reason why this is significant is we're going to see that. Just imagine if you can for just the moment that the scene is the chazan is standing at the amud. Right, and the makela, the choir, standing around him in such a way they're davening their own shemoneh esrei with their own feet together, but they're enhancing with chazar sashatz with the kedusha. Obviously, the davening. So be'emtza chazar sashatz, back to the case, in the middle of chazar sashatz, this guy is now. They said his shemoneh esrei private. Now he's repeating the shemoneh esrei the amida. And he's in the middle of that kaidim she'agia lekedusha. Now that's also very interesting to this case. If we want to be very specific, the place that this happens is before he gets to kedusha. And we all know, as we've learned previously many times, that the different stages of the Shemoneh Esrei and the different stages of the Chazar Sashatz, the beginning, the Avos, the Bakashos, the Shevach, Hoda'ah, these are very specific stages. And those specific stages actually come not only with different interpretations of what they're meant to mean individually and in their segments, but they're also significant as it relates to halacha and interruptions and things of that sort. So here the case is very specific, and it says that during the Chazar Sashatz, before he even gets to the Kedusha, so Nishma Chavata Shel Adam Shenafal. We have that word chavata. Anybody familiar where we have that word chavata? Chavita, chavata. If you remember Hoshana Rabbah, we take the bundle and the language and the nusach, right? We bang the bundle on the floor. Charlie, what did you say? Yeah. So you take the bundle and the lashon is the language, and the tefillah is you take a chavata and you do the beating of the bundle on the floor. So you heard like this bang. Nishma chavata shel adam shenafal. There was a loud bang of somebody who must have fallen on the floor, very loud. Umiyad la'ach mikan kriyas hatzala. Right afterwards, somebody screamed, "Hatzala, hatzala, we need help!" And they guess we're calling the chevre hatzala. Chazan. Now the chazan was davening for the omen. Now, of course, he could have been a doctor, but in this case, he was the member of the chevre hatzala. Chazan shugam misnadev b'hatzala. He was a volunteer as well for hatzala. So what should he do? Again, should he survey? Should he look around? Should he see if there's anybody else that's running? No. So Ratz Miyad Leish, that he's trained to jump down that fire pole. If there's an emergency, he's going to just hop there and he's going to go and he's going to be there. So Ratz Miyad Leish. Now, obviously, emotionally, we think and assume that there should be nothing wrong with he's running there. He should go back or he should continue from the place that he's at. But again, part of the technicalities, you learn the specifics and the technicalities of this case and the laws that are associated, but we also pick up things off to the side of this and understanding the significance and the importance of davening in one place and what it means to establish a toifes tfisas hamakom, literally, of what that means. The rats miyad l'ish, he runs immediately to this fallen fellow. Tzatipul ba'ad shiagia ambulance. He was metapo with him, he engages with him, he helps him, he assists him. He's involved with this fellow until an ambulance comes, until help comes, different help comes. So achar, so now what happens? La'achar shepinuhu lebeis acholim. So now they take this fellow away. Now they're not sure what to do. The situation is resolved, at least temporarily. Obviously, the drama, the chaos, the worry, the nervousness, everything has been subsided. So now this guy's taken in the ambulance. He's taken to the Beit Cholim. He's taken to the hospital. So now his topic hachazan. Now the chazan is not sure; he's unclear. Heichan yamshich es tefiloso. Now, when we say heichan yamshich es tefiloso, there's really two meanings that I understand what it means through the reading of the rest of this response of this case. But there's actually two questions that he's asking. The first question he's asking is heichan yamshich es tefiloso could mean, like, from where do I continue? Do I start over the Shemoneh Esrei? You know that obviously, for example, during the daytime, not the evening, but the daytime of Rosh Chodesh, for example, and you forget, you fail to say Yalav Yavo, you omit it in your private Shemoneh Esrei. So the halach is, you have to be Chodesh to the Rosh, which means you have to go back and you have to recite the Shemoneh Esrei from the beginning. If there's an error, as the Chazan, as the Shlich Tzibur in Chazar Sashat, so there's many times you have to be Chodesh to the Rosh, or you have to go to the beginning of a certain segment of Brachos. So the first question we wonder, he's asking, let's assume if he's a Chavre Hatzalah, he wasn't just sitting there silently. He's probably asking him questions, and he interrupted his Shemoneh Esrei. So if there's a Shehiyah, there's a pausation in between from what he was saying to what he had to be metapel asking questions. What's your blood pressure? Are you diabetic? You know, do you have history of medication, so on and so forth? Whatever those things that this doctor, this Hatzalah, was asking. So now he wants to know, do I pick up from where I left off, or do I have to go back and be Chozer LaRosh? Do I go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei? But that's one question. But the second question really he's asking is the location, the actual physical location. Ha'im b'mokom shu oimed sham. Should he stay where he went to when he went to help the patient in the back of the shul? Let's assume for argument's sake that the guy plops in the back of the shul and he falls down in the back of the shul. So now he wants to know, am I tayfes anu mokom? Is tfisis ha'mokom? Like, we know that this concept of tfisis ha'mokom sounds very similar to what we call shvisas ha'mokom, shvitat ha'mokom. What's shvitat ha'mokom? That is Lagabe, the Indian, the topic of Tchum Shabbos, which, for example, when you have an Eruv and an Eruv Tchumin, an Eruv Chetzeros, and an Eruv, you know, Tavshilin, for example, and an Eruv Stam, that's an Eruv to carry in, you know that part of how you establish what's considered the ability to carry is what we call, it's a Makam Shavisa. Makam Shavisa means the place of rest. The place, Okay, yeah, it's the makam, that's the makam tefisa, it's the place that you rest. What's the place that your house, the place that you're going to have Shabbos, the place you're going to travel, you have to identify that in advance. That's called the makam shvisa. The makam shvisa is the indicator of what will allow you to carry the location, to have an air of tchum, an air of tchatzer, so on and so forth. So that's very important. So do we say, like Hilchah Shabbos requires us to have that makam tefisa, that makam shvisa, this is a makam tefisa. Makam tefisa is that now, this is my place. I started one location. I went to another location. Mechatesa. What's the big deal? The answer, it's a big deal. Maybe it's a big deal. And that's what he's asking. Now that I'm done, now the guy has been taken away by ambulance. Doctor has taken him. The emergency team has taken him away. So what does he do? Does he stay in the place that he went to help that patient? And what happens with the makela? What happens with the choir? Does the choir go back with him? Does the choir stay where he is? What happens if it's monea? It diminishes what the family of the Bali Simcha, you know, they paid for it to be and to look a certain way. Now they might be a little bit uneasy, unhappy. It looks a little bit different. So these are things that take place, things that happen. Does he stay in the place that he went to help the patient? And Vamakela Tovi Elov Lasif Basic Knesses, and the choir would come back and join him. They would leave their spots likewise as well. And they'd go to the back of the Basic Knesses as well. Oshema, or maybe Mutla lo shuv limkomo. Maybe it should be that he should be allowed to walk back, I guess precipitously, responsibly back to his place, lifnei ateva, as he was standing before the ark. Now, I don't know if you remember or if you're familiar. So if you've davened Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as many of you have, on the high holidays in our shul in the past, our chazan for many years was a kohen for Musaf. So in this duchening, when you're the kohen for Musaf, and you're not allowed to be, right, leave your place. You know, and if you're familiar, for many of us, we call it the famous hop. So he hops. You're actually not allowed to take a step, but you can hop from one place to another place. He literally hops back out of his Shemoneh Esrei. It's a Shailah and Halacha. Of course, I've learned that and studied that and guided him through that process. But again, is it called Tfisus Makom? Are you now taking over a new place? So does this Chazen, who's in the back of the shul, have the ability to go back to his place? Or does the new place that he found himself? Okay, circumstantially, he was able to leave, clearly. But is that new, his new place? So what do you say? Questions, comments, concerns, interests? If you want to participate, unmute. If not, thumbs up, and we'll continue. Ala Kadima. Ala Kadima. L'chaim Tovim, by the way. Charlie, I didn't hear you. Don't, Charlie, you're muted. I just see your lips, but I don't see.
I'm going to guess he can go back to his original space.
Okay.
I'm wrong, probably. But that's
I thought you were going to guess that what's in this cup is not your favorite drink. That's right. That's what I was going to guess. No Diet Coke. Sure. Okay, so the response of the tshuva is like this. First paragraph of the response: Yesh lo lachsa limkomo. The first opinion that's mentioned here is yes, yesh lo. Now it's interesting language. Whenever you have these responses, svarim, these are, you know, very important words to really think. Like, I always wonder when the difference between could or should. Right? You could do that if you want to. Or should you do that? Like, there's a big difference when somebody's asking that question. You have to take into consideration who that person is. You know, so yesh lo lachzalim kamo. You could return to the place if that would be your desire. Kamo misha margish yotze mimenu ruach. Now, you'll forgive me, but this is the halacha. It's very important. So let's just say a person feels they're in the middle of davening and they feel they have to pass the wind. And they're worried that the passing of the wind is going to interrupt their Shemoneh Esrei. It's going to interrupt their Kavana. This is a Shulchan Aruch comment. So it is what it is. Kamo misha margish yotze mimenu ruach shaholech dalat amos. You know what the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch? You can take a step back out of your Shemoneh. So you walk in the direction of four amos, four cubits. The achakach chozer limkomo. This is a statement in Shulchan Aruch. And then you can go back to your place. So then what the initial thought in this response is that just like in a case of flatulation, a ruach that has a smell, a scent that's going to disturb your kavana, the din is the law is shaholech dal amos v'achakach chozer limkomo. So maybe it would seem sheyesh lalach limkomo, this guy who also, there is a halachic dispensation circumstantially for a person to leave their place and go back to their place, right? So if that's the case, then maybe this should be an application of that din. What we call this an av malacha and a tolda, right? Obviously, it's a different word, different same words, but a different case. Hilchas Shabbos, you have the av malacha and the tolda. Maybe this is a tolda of the av. Same idea. Vatam, cause of HaBeis Yosef. Now, the reason for this, says the Beis Yosef, B'Shem Rabbeinu HaGadol, that he should always have a set makom. Now, the reason why he should have a set makom is significant because if it would be, and we're going to see what the Beis Yosef says here, maybe because he leaves the place because of the ruach, the scent, and he goes to a new place, so why is that he has to go to a new place? Let him stay where he is. He's toifes a new makom. Anyway, and part of what's interesting about this is that do we not say that Dalal Amos is your makom kavua? Let's say you sit in a certain spot in shul, and somebody's in your spot, but the seat right next to the spot to you is open. So the halacha is you grab that second spot, and actually it's considered makom kavua, assuming that it's within Dalal Amos. You're good, right? So maybe if it is, we see that if this guy has to take three steps back or within Dalal Amos to go out of the scent, and we see that that's allowed, why should he even have to go back? Why does Shulchan Aruch say, ve'achar kachozer limkomo? Says the Beis Yosef, second line, B'Shem Rabbeinu HaGadol, Ma'ari, he quotes this commentary, Sha'arei, you know why? Sha'arei tzorech she'alo makom miyuchal tefila. You know why? Because you need a specific, identified, special place that's miyuchal for tefila, that even though we say, there's something called Dalad Amos, that is an incorporation of your spot, it's not your spot. It would really be the halachic dispensation if somebody's in your spot. So then we allow you to, you know, use Dalat Amos as a way of you still staying and remaining in your spot. But if you have a choice to be in your spot or to be a Dalat Amos, you're always going to choose your spot. And even if it means you have to take three steps back, then to re-enter after the scent dissipates, and then that's what it is. Why? Says the Beis Yosef, Sha'arei tzarech she'alo makom miyuchad l'tfila. Third line. Maybe it's necessary for a person to have, and it's special for a person to have, a makom miyuchad l'tfila, your special, identified, unique, singular place that's yours for davening. Adkan. That's the halacha. Va'ani omer. And va'ani omer is the Beis Yosef speaking here. Va'ani omer da'afilu l'divrei, even according, he says, and this is going to emphasize his point even all the more so, I say, that da'afilu, that even according l'divrei misha sover shelo omru elishit sarich liyoslo, Beis Knesset Miyuchad, you know, there's another opinion. There's always another opinion. What's the other opinion? There's another opinion that says you don't need a makom miyuchad l'tfila. You know what you need? This could get into like interesting conversation. You know what you need? You don't need makom tfila miyuchad. You know what you need? You need lios lo beis haknesses miyuchad. You need your own shul. Not you make your own shul. You are in a shul. That is your shul. Like the idea of like going to multiple minyanim, right? You live in a community, but you go to six shuls, right? Or you make your own place. No. You have to have your makom, not your makom and your place in shul, which of course we know is a different thing in Shulchan Aruch. Well, that's one opinion. But there's another opinion, which is obviously a more lenient opinion, is that you don't need a specific place in shul. You just need a specific shul. And that means that while you're in the building, every part of that building on the inside is called your makam tefila, it's called a makam kavu. I know, right? Sounds like a little bit of a stretch. There's actually a shul, a synagogue in Baltimore. I don't know what's it's that rect affiliation, but it actually has like, I think it's, I happen to think it's Sephardic. It has like a dome type of you know, ceiling. And for whatever the reason, I think one of the Psak Halacha was that while you're in that, I do think it's an Orthodox synagogue, while you're in there, and by the way, you'll have many Sephardim that follow this, that if while you're inside a home, you don't need to wear a kippah because the kippah is, you know, is covered by the dome or by the insulation of the bias of the home, and therefore you don't need to, we don't pass it like that, Halacha. But the Beis Yosef is quoting this second opinion, which is a second opinion. You don't need a mukam, a place in the shul. You need a shul. Don't hop around. Don't make it that you have other places to be. Your shul. And while you're in the shul, which is why, like, when it is that somebody is sitting in your seat, when somebody says, hey, by the way, you're sitting in my seat, the reason why that's an egregious statement for three reasons. Number one, it's certainly not in the world of outreach at all. It's certainly not bringing people in. We all know that. Number two is that if it's within Dalet Amos, you're still within your makam kavua. And number three is that there's this third opinion that says that makam tefila, miyuchad, is your place. It doesn't have to necessarily be your place specifically in shul. Now, I'm not saying we want to announce this because then you're going to have chaos. People are not going to necessarily be in the same seats. But technically speaking, there is another opinion that states that it's not that you need a specific spot in shul, you just need a specific shul, and any place inside the spot of the synagogue is considered your makam kavua, it's considered your makam tefillah, and then you're good to go. But Seth, listen to how the Beis Yosef is saying this. He says, you should just know that no, the afilu, fourth line, the afilu l'divrei misha sover, even according to those who hold, Shelo amru ela shitzarch lios lo base knesses miyuchad, that it's not that you need a makam tefillah, but you need a makam base a knesses. That's what you need. And therefore, okay, what difference does it make? If you go back, you can stay in the back of the shul, you can stay in the front of the shul, every place of the shul is your place. Avaloboy makam yuchad is palaba, and so therefore you don't need a specific place in the shul. Kemosha kasafti besimit tzadi, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in chapter 90, he says, that's what he writes there. So he says, Shani Hacha. You know what? It's different about this case, and this is very interesting. This case is different. What's different about this case? Shehischil kfar lispalel. You know why? Because since he started in this place, so since he started in this place, ukfar since he was there, and ukfar kova hashchina makom sham. He already established that the divine is in that place. Which is a fascinating line, right? Once you start your tefillah there, you want to say that you want to start your davening in another location. It's not that you can't say that somebody's in your seat, or even if let's say you're running late and you don't want to walk to the front of the shul, you want to just daven shmones in the back of the shul. That doesn't mean you're not going to be able to establish that as a place where the divine, where Shechina is going to be there. Of course you will. But if you've already started it in one place, so then what does it seem? It seems if you should go back to that place because you started something. Maybe it's a loss or a lessening of the Kfod Shemayim, the honor of heaven, if in fact you started and then you like kind of left it. So this is what it is. Shani hocha sehiskil kfar liyispalu kfar kova shchina mokam sham shemivakesh lisatesh nisrachik mokam shchina. And therefore, what it is that this person has to pass wind, sneeze, burp, whatever it is. He takes a step back from the makam shchina. He has to then go back to the place that he left. Why? Because that's the place that he started. So that's what he says. That is the end of the words of the writings of the Beis Yosef. Since you started there, you have to end it there. Very, very specific. So it doesn't say that you can't get up and leave. It just does suggest that you have to go back to your place. Good. So Ad Kan Lashona. This is the Beis Yosef. Very authoritative, strict halacha, straight halacha, lots of different spokes, lots of different nuances, circumstances that they arrive, questions I'm sure will be. But let's just get to this specific of this case because there's other variables that we also see as well. So look at the bottom thing. Any questions so far? So good? Questions?
We'll keep it to the end.
Keep it to the end. Okay, good. Kamokane. So we see that similar to this. So Kamokane. So we see here, Kosov a Kaf HaChaim. Now, who's the Kaf HaChaim? We learn halacha. Kaf HaChaim, many Sephardim follow the opinion of the Kaf HaChaim, but also Ashkenazim as well. Very famous, well-known halachic authority. Amasha Kosov a Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Chof Ches. As that which is written in the Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law, in the chapter of 128, Simon Chof, chapter 12. So, small chapter 20. Shechazan Kohen, like we've had in our case. He says the Kaf HaChaim. If let's just say you have a case where the Chazan is a Kohen, so the Chazan is a Kohen, should be Tuach Shalot Titarif Dato. What's Titarif Dato? Which means he's sure that he's not going to be confused, right? He's going to have to get up, leave his place. He's going to wash his hands. Yala l'duchan v'varech birchas kohanim. Now, there are many who write that should a Kohen not be the Chazan for Yom Narayim? Should a Kohen not be the Chazan Stam? Because if he has to leave, you know, and so they go, and they go to the place where the Duchening takes place. So does the Kohen leave his place and go to the small little carpets, the small little rugs? If you go to the Kotel, you see those small little rugs. Does he leave his place where he's the Chazan and go to that spot? So he says Shulchan Aruch, that a chazan is a kohen, she bituach shela tisarev data, which means he's sure, he's confident that it's not going to be mubalbil, it's not going to confuse him, he's not going to lose his concentration if he goes from one place to another place. Some people feel that they're going to be confused. Yala said the halacha is yala the duchel vivarech berachas kohen. He can go, leave his spot. He's the chazan. He can go to the podium, to the place where he's going, to the duchen, which is literally the platform, literally that's what it means. And he goes to duchen, vivarech berachas kohen, he says berachas kohen, v'acher mikan, after misayim, sim shalom. And then he goes back to his spot and he says, sim shalom, he's mamshech, he continues. So kosav ha-kaf ha-chaim, says the kaf ha-chaim, shekodem sim shalom, yachzer limkomo, before he goes and continues shemon esrei, then he goes back to his place and then he says sim shalom. Vatam, the reason is kadesh lo tiyat fila, that the place, that the davening should not be mufsekis v'beis makomos. You shouldn't have davening in two places, right? It's not, it shouldn't be interrupted, paused by two locations. That is not ideal. So you're not supposed to do that. It's one location. Circumstantially, you have to leave your location. Okay. So that means that even if it's a chazan, Rahman al-Aslan is saying, you know, as an ovel, he's davening for the omelet. And how he's davening is in Yerushalayim, and it's now time for duchening. So does he stay in his spot? It's interesting. Many people don't know this halacha. I saw this once after a minyan at the Kotel one time. There's a bunch of people haggling after the davening. The guy got up, left his spot, and he went to duchen, and the people went crazy. Ah, ya oiker raglov, you moved your feet, you stepped out of Shemon Esrei, you're not a Yid, you're not Jewish, you're not religious, you're not this. It was geferlich. I said, you guys all lost all your schar of tefillah for all your fighting and all your battling. Nice. But the answer is that the halacha is assuming, again, the Shulchan Aruch says this, and the Kaf HaChaim brings this, that assuming that the chazan, that the Kohen is a strong, sharp-minded, confident-thinking person, that he's not worried that he's going to become distracted, confused. So then it's permissible. Otherwise, it's not. But that's the halacha. And the reason why it shouldn't be in two locations is because it's not just that he's able to leave. Okay, he's able to leave to go to the duchen, to go to the platform, to say Berachas Kohanim, but it's to come back. And because he has to come back, is only indicated because we don't want it. Should it be shalotim at tefillah mufsekes mevez mekomos? We don't want it to be that it's interrupted by two places. It doesn't exist in two locations, and that's what it is. Now, top of the next piece here, which is now what this sefer does is it gives you all of the points, and now it brings it back home, brings it back to our case. What does it mean? Brings it back home to our case. V'kach gam in yonenu. So too here in our case as well. Yachzer hachazan limkomo. You know, it should be the chazan should go back to his place. Why? And this is interesting because this doesn't only apply in a case of shul. This actually applies a very, very, very important halacha as it relates to a medical health provider or a member of Hatzalah who goes on a call on Shabbos and the ability halachically for that person to return from their call. If you told the Hatzalah member that they can go on a call to take a person who is in need and distress to the hospital, but you're going to have to spend the rest of your Shabbos in the hospital, you know what's going to happen? Nobody's going to go on those calls. Very, very few people are going to go on those calls. A doctor who's on call, he's going to attend to a physician, to a patient, because he's a physician, he's not going to easily, readily feel so comfortable to go back. Now, obviously, there are nuances to that. A woman who feels like she's in labor, she ends up having what we call Braxton Hicks, and therefore really was in labor. Was she allowed to go? Does she have to stay? Does it depend on how close you live to the hospital? And the answer to all those questions is yes, yes, and yes. You have to know what that is, and we have to go through those cases and particulars and nuances as they arrive, as they do. But suffice it to say, the din is that you have the right to go back chozer limkomo. Kach gam in yonenu yachzer hachazan limkomo. The chazan goes back to his place. Why? Listen to these words. These are very strong words. These are statements like, I would say, euphemisms or you know, Mishle-like kind of proverbs and parable type of statements. V'yeh lahamlitz al zeh b'derech malitza. What's lahamlitz? We use that word usually to say, that person, we have melitz yosher, right? When we talk about a deceased, but that's not only the context that we're supposed to use it in. That a person could be a melitz. You're a melitz, which means a melitz is that you're a helper. You're an assistant. You've assisted in the providing of the best and the best general welfare for that person. So we say, v'yesh, we say those, lahamlitz al zeh b'derech malitza, es hanemar b'meseches eruvin. We had a couple of mesechtos in the Daf Yomi Mem Dalet on the base. Kol yotzim lahatzil chozrim limekoyman. Now, if you remember that in the Daf Yomi, that's a famous statement that the Chevre Hatzalah started with the dinim of Moshe, famously coined that that's halacha based on this Gemara, and it's brought Negris Moshe. That kol yotzim lahatzil chozrim limekoyman. That anybody goes to help. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be you're an onlooker. That means you're really going to help. That person has a real yad in being able to help. Famously, I mean, obviously there's so many different expressions of how this applies and where this applies, but you know, let's just say you have a situation where a woman is in labor and she wants her husband to go because the husband's going to be a help, is going to be an assistant. Sometimes maybe the woman will think the husband's is in the way. But let's just say, so what does it mean to be a latzilo? Does latzilo mean that that's actually a physician is going to be attending, or it's a nurse that's going to start an intravenous and you know, administer, you know, medications? Or is it just, you know, there's obviously a little bit of gray into what's lahatzila. Lahatzila could be even like a psychological calming, you know, making sure that there's a maintenance of best well-being, even in a situation where that person isn't a medical care provider by trade or isn't trained as a volunteer of Hatzala. It's kedesh. Why? Shad Sibur, we have to understand. So then we say that he can go and then he can also go back in such a situation. Obviously, there's different parts of that depending on the case. Gabi in Yoneni Yadua. So since it's also understood, and he actually explains there's another reason, another meaning that this responsa could end right here, but he actually adds another point. This is Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein who adds this. Gabi in Yoneni should also know that in our case, and this is interesting just to think about the personality of the chazan, you have personalities who are chazanim, right? We all know that. Yedua shel chazin, that for the chazin, it's noyach lashuv limkomo. What does that mean? He would rather, it is pleasant, it's pleasing, it's calming, right? Like they say in the army, tagish noach, you're at ease, he's more at ease if he goes back to his place. Why? Kidei shatzibur lo yistaklu alav. It's interesting because if he stands in the back, everyone's going to be looking at him. Now, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that that would be an answer. Like, who cares? All right, so he's looking at him. But you know,
I don't want everybody to look at that.
Yes, I don't know what to say about that. Maybe this, but maybe the fact that they wanted to look at him, they wanted to look him in the spot, and he's by the bima, he's by the pulpit, he's got his kofa, his hat, you know, the chazan's hat, he's got his talis, whatever. But maybe the fact he's in the back, it's going to distract him. Since he went out to help, so he can come back, and he can be in his place, and he returns because that's where he started. Now, obviously, part of what would have been unique is that what would happen if this was before Chazaras HaShatz? Does it make a difference that he had his own private Shmona Esrei in this place, but the Chazaras HaShatz maybe would have been in a different place? Is that considered the Haschola is the Kavo Shechina B'Makom Zeh, and therefore it's the sofa and the safe, the end, the safe for the ending of that has to be there? Or do we say, no. It's a different Shmona Esrei. It's not his Shmona Esrei. It's for the Tzibor Shmona Esrei. That would be an interesting kind of component of that. What would we say? Was he Toifes the Makom, the place as a place that's holy of Kavo Shechina B'Makom Zeh? Or do we say Chazaras HaShatz is a different thing? Interesting point. Lots of different permutations, adaptations, components of this. And with that, I open the floor. Questions, comments, concerns. It could be specifically related to this, but it could be also related to other parts of this, which is the place and where you stand and where you're supposed to be and grasping a location, things of that sort.
Can I have a comment that, and it's also a question then. I like that you offered this other idea that you do not need to sit in one specific place in a shul, because that I've always thought that the arguments that start about that are ridiculous. So the idea that you should have your shul and your shul is your place makes so much more sense to me personally. And then So then my other question is, then how do you, let's say you think that that's a better idea as the leader of the shul, how do you convey that to your congregation that that should be the way people behave? So or people are entitled to their own interpretation of what that is.
Now, I'll tell you what's fascinating. A number of years ago, there's a very, very special fellow in the shul, very, very close to me, very close to me. I love this Jew. His name is Dr. J. Feingold.
And he goes crazy, and I hate that. That's what I'm saying.
He actually did a lot of research on the topic of Makom Kavua. Actually, no, I'm serious. And he spent a lot of time. It's a Gemara Maseches Brachos, which he was learning. And the Shal Shvitas to commemorate the yard site, I believe it was, you know, of his father, was a very lengthy dissertation about the significance of Makom Kavua. So while it's true that I, like you, appreciate the welcome and the openness and the you know, the airiness of the place being for everybody, and the place is for everybody, there's something extraordinary and special and unique and halachic and very meaningful about having your own spot. So I'm not telling what to talk about with your husband over dinner tonight, but if you're looking for a topic to talk about, he's ready. He is ready to tell you all amazing parts
of
that.
This has been discussed many times between us.
So. Well, I'm going to also add that David Seinfeld and I, before COVID, used to sit next to each other in shul. And we had lengthy discussions also about Makom Kavua. And we did not agree on the topic. And so I just want to say my piece for a second, because first of all, here in literally within two psukim here, it says either you have makom yuchal tefila, you have one specific spot, which is your makom kavua, or base knesset miyuchad. I mean, so you know, I mean, this is like almost diametrically opposed, sort of. So to me, somebody has to have made a decision here. They're not so nebulous that they're both equal and you pick what you like.
Right.
The comment that I would say, because it's something that's going to come up soon anyway, as we build a new shul and we're going to have 400, with God's help, 400 seats. Mm. So my position is, knowing a lot of the people who come and daven early and are committed to davening, really want a Makom Kavua. It's, you know, because like, it's a place that they're used to daven in, they're comfortable, their surroundings are comfortable. You talk about the chazan wanting to be in a comfortable place. So my feeling is, I think there is a place for Makom Kavua, but it shouldn't be made necessary. So if you have 400 seats and 150 are designated for, you know, Makom Kavua, and you could sit in those and you commit yourself to that, you still have 250 seats that anybody who comes in can sit there. Or if you're not there, somebody can sit in your seat too. So I don't think it's like you have to force somebody. And clearly, like you say, if you are late and somebody sits in your seat, it's unlikely that I'm going to tell somebody to please pick up and leave my seat.
Right.
But I do believe, because I've heard from a lot of people, that they would love to be able to have a place where they can just go and sit down and have their stuff. And when we don't have COVID, they leave their talis there, and they leave their chumash there, and they leave their stuff there.
Right. So right. I would add to that, because I would only add to that there is a halachic precedent for that. It's not just, you know, a convenience factor that people like to have like their shelf, their spot, their couch, their chair. There is a very strong, strong halachic precedent for that, which people want and they feel. And part of it is that, you know, in the spiritual sense, that's your place. God asks for you. God knows where you are. I mean, God knows where you are. No matter where you are, obviously, you set and hold yourself responsible to that place. But I actually think that part of how this tshuva is read is that the Beis Yosef is simply recognizing, acknowledging, you know, citing the other opinion. But he clearly rules that makam kavua, which I know from other places, is the halacha. But there yesh sovrim, there are yesh omrim, there are others who will argue, which, by the way, which means to me that it doesn't mean that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. I think the vernacular of a Jew has to be somewhat malleable, somewhat bendable, flexible, which means you have your makam kavua. Certainly if somebody comes there, you're not going to tell somebody who's in that spot, and you're going to certainly not be obnoxious and rude. Ah, you're my seat. There are people that are that way, and we none of us endorse that. However, yeah, and the reason why that's okay is because you have what to say. You know, Yesh Sovrim says, the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch, that it's makam Beis Knesses Miuchad. If we said that only, you know, they're both strong statements. I don't think that they're equally weighted. I don't. The Gemara does not talk about that. That miyucha the Beis HaKnesses, the way it talks about makam kavua. Makam kavua is highly significant, codified in the Code of Jewish Law. But if you found yourself uprooted for whatever.
Okay, otherwise, it wouldn't give all the examples where the coin should go back to it. Right. Shouldn't go there. I mean, otherwise, that wouldn't be important. If you had a Beis Knesses Miuchad and you could daven anywhere you want.
Yeah, I'll give you another example. I'll give you another very, very, unfortunately, very daily example for so many people. Let's say a person, Rachmana Letzlan Lo'Aleinu, loses a relative and they're in an Avel. The halacha is that they don't sit in their spot anymore. That doesn't mean we've taken their privileges away of their makam kavua. Of course not, because really the whole Beis Knesses is their makam kavua. So therefore, you could sit another spot. It's Mishana Mokum, Mishana Mazel. That doesn't mean you can't go back to your place. You do go back to your place. So there's like, there is a place called Makam Kavua with all of these examples in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, replete with example after example. But when push comes to shove, if you had to, like, you know, Carol, you're saying correctly, there is a camaraderie, there is a community, there is a unity, there is a life force called Miyucha LeBeis HaKnesses, which, by the way, for some people, for them, that's also a big challenge. They can't find themselves in the same Beit Knesset from one minion to the next. Shachros, they're here, Mincha, they're there, Meyer, they're there, one Shabbos, they're here, one Shabbos, they're there. You know, then somebody says, Rabbi, you never asked me where I was. Yeah, you missed me last Shabbos. You didn't see me. Why don't you call me? I say, I can't keep up with where you are. I don't, maybe you're just, you know, so like, there's something very strong about being where you are, A, for yourself, B, for your family, C, obviously A, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, but also for the community. That's why the Mishnah says you have to have a Shachin Tov. A Shachin Tov is a good neighbor. If you're not there, you're missing. You want somebody to ask about you, someone to daven for you, someone to care about where you are. There's something very significant about that. But Carol, I appreciate so much what you're saying.
Since we're discussing Jay Feingold in absentia, he sat on the other side of me from Charlie. And I had this discussion with him also. And he said he doesn't mind if somebody sits in his seat, but they better get there before he will.
Exactly.
And they never will. So that's, you know, it's a moot point.
But I think with David's point, which I agree with, is that people should behave properly. If somebody's in your seat, or say a family comes, it's happened many times on our row, somebody comes with, like, Jay's boys were there. So then we would move out of our seats, right, so that he can have his family together. Isn't that, right. You know, obviously, and then we would sit right nearby on the next row, you know.
I've been on the receiving end of the comment, someone's sitting there, or you're in my seat. And it's a terrible feeling. I mean, one time I had to say Kaddish. I was in a shul in Manhattan, and the shul, I mean, we're in the chapel. I mean, there's about 100 seats and only, you know, 15 are, you know, occupied. And I happen to sit in one of them, and somebody walks over and says to me, you're in my seat. And I'm looking around like there's 85 other seats here. And I just kept my mouth shut and I moved aside. And I said, that's not the most welcoming feeling that you should have.
But
and
I don't tell you
what else to be on the receiving end of that. So my attitude is, if somebody comes into shul, whatever their level of affiliation is, I should be happy that they're in the shul for whatever reason. And I'll, you know, I can daven wherever. To me, you know, I believe that the Beis HaKnesses is, you know, is my
mother. But I've seen Yaakov Elfein, who does this, you know, very, very well. He'll go over to somebody who's about to sit in, say, Mayor Rappaport's seat or whatever, and say, you know, why don't you come over here because so-and-so sits there. He has no problem doing it, and he does it very respectfully, and there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because there's a difference between the confrontation that you know, that David experienced, which we all agree that confrontation is like atrocious, versus being, you know, quick and deft in the sense of being a gabbai. Part of, by the way, an usher, a gabbai should really be the one who's helping people, because there's nothing worse than if you're in a place and then you find out that you're in somebody's seat. You don't want to be in somebody's seat, no. You know, right? Well, so if you have an usher, that's great that he's able to preempt that.
In Baca, there's a shul at Nitzanim where Rabbi Shai is.
Yeah.
And there what they do is they have a section in the back for guests. But there's a gabbai, and if he sees you, he will then take you up to the front. He knows exactly who's in what seat. There's no problem. So
is that section in Madison Square Garden? That would be called the blue seats, right? That'd be the upper deck.
And you got to give them money.
Yeah, it's funny. We actually recently. It's somewhat related, but you know, I wish everybody knew this falling halacha, which I'm about to tell you. We've had this recently, and I believe as our shul has exploded and continues to grow, we're going to have this more and more, what I'm about to tell you. It's now become a possibility. We had this a few weeks ago where two people had a yard site on the same day. Two people that are members of the shul, and they both want to daven for the amud. So what happens? The first thing that a Jew starts thinking about is, oh, I'll make another minyan, right? We'll have 16 minyanim in the same shul. So now, Baruch Hashem, we have two shachrises, you know, so that worked out for shachris. What about mincha? Who's going to get mincha? Who's going to get ma'ariv? So they both came to me, and they were both like very unsettled, like what's going to be? So you know what the answer is? The answer that I gave them is what I believe is the Masorah, is our tradition. I said, whichever one of you is going to be zocheh, which one of each of you are going to have the merit?
The other one down.
That's right. There's something called being a mevater. Mevater is I'm going to give in, I'm going to give up. That is the greatest schus for the neshama. Don't think that if you're going to battle.
Both, you know what? You dumb.
Yeah, you know, that's what happened. Then they started battling. Who's going to be mevater? I'm like, oh my God. Goodness gracious. Make another minute. You're finished already. Making me nuts.
No, but I think what this leads to another conversation, and that's the importance of ushers.
Yeah.
Especially how big we're getting.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because all of a sudden, five, six people walk in, don't know where to go. And if Yaakov isn't there, it's a challenge.
A couple meetings ago, David, you coined the phrase, which I never referred to Dr. Elephant this way, which I have been since this. You called him what? The maitre d' of the shul, right?
Well, I added something to that this Shabbos, because when I walked into shul, he had his talis over his arm before he was going to put it on. So I said, now you look like the sommelier.
I texted him a few times.
He should train other people.
Yes.
Does.
Yes.
So, I'm telling you, if you want good behavior, then you need somebody to train other people about good behavior.
I totally agree. I've texted him many times. I told him I'm going to change his contact name on my phone as the major. But it's the first face you see. It's welcoming. And it does alleviate these confrontations because, listen, people don't really know how to
act. I want to ask David a question.
Yeah.
Because we don't sit next to each other in shul right now.
How do you
feel about a limited number of seats that are designated makom kavua, whereas most of the seats in the shul are not?
You mean you're saying have a bifurcated?
Purchase it or something?
What?
Do you mean people purchase the seat specifically for himself or something?
One of the ways, listen, we're trying to be creative on how to raise enough money to build a new shul. And this is a way that we've calculated that we could literally raise $500,000 for the shul and satisfy the need of a lot of people who do want to have a makom kavua.
Yeah.
Like Jay.
I think the only makom kavua should be for the rabbi and for Mayor Rappaport. Finished.
Well, I don't think you're going to win that argument.
Well, and perhaps the rabbi's wife.
Won't be the first time.
No, it's not about that. I mean, I know that so many people have come over to me in shul, very, very reasonable people who really like to have their own place, to sit in the same place every time. And I'm sure they're used to doing that in the shul they come from up north.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we should all be all right. to merit to David together.
All right. Many,
20 years of good health in the same place. We'll
fill up to 400 seats.
Yeah. Right, that sounds good.
The shul's too small.
Yeah. Yeah. Merit to do this for many, many years of good health.
Amen.
Wonderful learning together this morning. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Wonderful rest of your Sunday and a wonderful rest of your week. Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.